First, let me say that anyone who teaches contrary to Christ and Scripture, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't repeat the question. Will the Antichrist be a person, a group, or some other form? And will we be able to recognize him if we put our faith and love in Jesus? And anyone who teaches contrary to Christ or the Scriptures is an Antichrist. Okay? That's the general terminology. Matter of fact, the Scripture indicates that if a person comes and says that Jesus did not come in the flesh, he's an Antichrist, you see. And there are many Antichrists in the world, but in particular, in the Scriptures, there's going to be a falling away, says the Apostle Paul. After the apostles passed from the scene, there would be a falling away. And then there would be an Antichrist power that would come up. And it would be a system. It would be more than just one individual. It would be a collective system. Paul calls him the lawless one. Paul calls him the Antichrist, John calls him the lawless one, and Daniel calls him the little horn. And it would be teaching, doctrines and teachings that are contrary to Scripture. We need to realize that before the second coming of Christ, the ultimate Antichrist will come. And that will be Satan himself coming, appearing as an angel of light. He may look like Christ, he may act like Christ, but the very things that come out of his mouth will be contrary to Scripture. We need to also realize the way Christ will come, the manner in which he comes. He's not coming as the loving Savior of the world. He's coming back as the judge and king. And so as we look at those two models, it helps us to distinguish one from the other. He will be inconsistent with the teachings and manner of Jesus. He may act like we assume Jesus to be. Unfortunately, different people have different concepts of how Jesus should act, you see. Some have a wishy-washy concept of Jesus. And so we need to be careful of that. But we find that one thing that we do need to remember is that when Jesus comes back again, he doesn't touch the ground. Keep that in your mind. He doesn't touch the ground. So if anybody's walking around on the ground claiming, even if it's Satan, claiming that he is Christ, we automatically know that he isn't. How can we tell? It says that there will be a narrow line, and only though, if it were possible, the Scripture says, that Satan would deceive even the very elect. Now, there are many sincere-hearted people who will be deceived if they're not studying the Word of God. We need to study the Word of God. We need to maintain our connection with Christ. That's what will keep us from being led astray. What's the other question, please? All right, the question is, you mentioned that baptism by immersion was a symbol of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. What about communion? Thank you for pointing this out and correcting me on this. I failed to bring that point out, not because I meant to overlook it. It's just that we were talking in particular last time under the context of the burial of Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. When we talk about the baptism by immersion, this Jesus gave as a sign or a symbol of his culmination as our Savior on the earth. How he died, how he was buried, and how he was resurrected. And we follow that in baptism by immersion. Now, what about communion? Communion, he specifically says that in the communion service, that The bread symbolizes his broken body for us. The grape juice or wine symbolizes the blood that he shed in our behalf. And he said he would not share that with us until the kingdom. So the communion service is to remind us of Jesus' sacrifice. It's not talking about the manner in which he died. That's what baptism by immersion symbolizes. But what this is a reminder of who our Savior is. Before Jesus celebrated the communion service with his disciples, he first washed their feet. That washing of the feet symbolized that not one of them was no better than the other. It's the great equalizer, and that we are all one in Christ. It doesn't matter male, female, Jew, Gentile, rich, poor. We are one in Christ, and that's what it symbolizes. It was to humble his disciples who were striving one after another to see who was going to get the top job when he came into the kingdom. And he had to take their pride down and then remind them that he was the great sacrifice in their behalf. And it says, whenever we do this, we should do it in remembrance of him. What does it mean, remembrance? It means to commemorate or to remind us of the great sacrifice. He was our Passover lamb, and that's what it symbolizes. Okay? I think we only had two tonight. In case he that endureth to the end will be finished.